Yeah, looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T.
Yeah.
Crew.
Whoa.
S-R-S-R-S-R-S-R-T. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. H-O got that payload when he say so. What you betting on?
Okay.
Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick.
See where I be
with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. They win a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Bleed it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable live from the SRT Studios overlooking Atlantic Station, and it is another week. Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew. I am your humble host, H.O. from Bankhead. My main man, sports superhero Hancock, is in the building with us. And, of course, D-Will, the coach.
Yep.
His team is just running away with everything, I tell you.
Woo.
And, of course, I got my main man, G-Money, behind the glass dropping them beats. And thanks to the loyal listeners for tuning in to another great episode, Sports Roundtable. You want to contact, call the show, get something off your chest, let us know how you feel. 404-603-8770. Please follow us on social media at SRT Radio. And of course, you can listen to the show AM 1100 on the dial, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio. And of course, you can go to srtradio.com and listen to it live there as well. As we are embarking on prime season, as the NBA came back last night, as the MLB is ending their season, NBA has started their season, and it started off with some somberness. If you haven't seen the Gordon Hayward gruesome.
Don't watch if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, just trust us on that. But got a lot to talk about. Got Slick Money calling in. Of course, Rain Man calling in, giving his picks. And he went perfect last week from what I hear. And, of course, Mr. Deshaun Tate, 92.9's The Game on Deshaun Tate will be in. Talking about college, the state of the college basketball and what's going on there. And we got the hot news coming up in a couple of minutes. And our roundtable discussion tonight, second hour of the show, is going to be college basketball and NBA, pretty much. But in our hot news, we'll definitely get to some college football, and we're going to have to get to some of it because the shakeup is real. So, fellas, how y'all feel tonight? We ready to roll?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's do it.
Yes, sir. Here we go. SRT Sports Roundtable, the SRT crew. G, let's go ahead and get into that hot news.
Blazing. Hot. Scorching.
On fire.
Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Sports Roundtable Hot News. Sponsored by, of course, Big Easy Grill. Looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town? Just go on over to our friends at the Big Easy Grill. 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. The best shrimp in town. It is verified. And I was told to mention the shrimp po' boy and D-Will's crab claws as well.
Yeah.
All right. First question. Hancock, college football shakeup happened this week. In your opinion, which team benefited the most?
Ooh, that's a tough question, big homie. I think it was more than one team that benefited, to be honest with you. There was a lot of shit. I think some conferences benefited, to be honest.
Yeah,
some benefited and some lost out. You know, Pac-10 looks like they could be on the outside, you know, looking in. I think it what this past weekend did is bring Ohio State back to prominence. They were one of the teams I thought about. Oklahoma and Notre Dame, to be honest with you. Those are teams that pretty much may have been left for dead a little bit this year. Oklahoma State also.
Yeah.
So the Big 12 actually got a reprieve. Notre Dame got a foot back, got a leg up. So if you want to say a couple of teams that benefited, I would say those teams definitely.
Benefited.
Yeah, and you have to kind of take Ohio State with a grain of salt because they haven't played anyone. But what they've been doing to people kind of gets them back into the picture.
Right.
Because they've been punishing teams.
I agree.
Now, the teams they've been punishing, Pots Kindergarten, but it is what it is. So
exactly.
Those are teams with this shakeup has brought those big names. And, the big names actually get a little lift just because of what they've done previously.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. But I think you mentioned the Pac-12 probably – this weekend didn't benefit them at all.
No.
So I want to make sure we mention that because USC has a big game this week.
But see, that helps them because they play Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, right.
That puts a feather in their cap.
Right.
Notre Dame, USC winner gets a big boost this weekend.
Exactly. So it happens every year. It's a shakeup every year, and sometimes we just got to – do the shake up and go across and see what's going on.
Exactly.
All right. Question number two, midseason awards, D. Will, the most disappointing player and team for the college football season thus far.
Yeah, this is one midseason award you really don't want to receive, just to be honest. But for player by far for me is the preseason Heisman pick, USC quarterback Sam Darnold. Mr. Darnold has 9 interceptions already through 6 games this season. He had 9 interceptions all of last year. All right. And now he was the preseason, the runaway pick for Heisman Trophy. And just because he does have a very talented squad around him, but for some reason this year he's been unable to put it together. And like Han just said, he can have a big week this week coming up playing Notre Dame. That'd be a big win if he can get it done and have good numbers. But right now for me, it's by far Sam Darnold, the most disappointing player. Now team, on the other hand, I will have to say it comes out of the SEC.
Oh.
And it is the Tennessee Volunteers.
Wow. Yeah.
With the Eastern division of the SEC being such a weak, I'm not going to call it weak, having a down year and a down time, Tennessee should have been a lot better than they are.
How about a down stretch?
Yeah, that's been a bad stretch. I'll try to give them the benefit of the doubt. But it's been a bad stretch for them. But for Butch Jones to accumulate the talent that he's accumulated over the last couple of years and still not be able to, get Tennessee over the hump, and for them to be 3-3 so far this year, going into Alabama this weekend for one of the biggest rivalries in college football, they're going to be 3-4, and they're probably going to lose very bad. That's a little homer there. But they're probably going to lose very bad, so it's gonna send them into a downspin. And coming after that, they have Kentucky. And we all know that Kentucky's sitting there at 5-1, or 4-1 in the top of the SEC East. They're coming off a bye week. So, Tennessee is my most disappointing team. So, Sam Darnold and the Tennessee Volunteers.
Yeah, like they go hand in hand.
Yep.
All right, question number 3. G, money. Your main man, if you go to our website, you can see this. SRTRadio.com. There's an article up, and Kaepernick files for collusion in the NFL. Your thoughts on it? I don't know how something like that can be proven, but maybe you have some different ideas that I can't see. So I'm going to get your thoughts on that.
Well, as far as trying to prove it, it's close to impossible.
Okay.
Because basically what Kaepernick would need is for the NFL to cooperate. They're already not letting them play. Now they like, help me prove my case against you.
You're right.
It's just not going to happen. He would have to have some kind of documentation, emails or phone calls or something like that to prove that at least 2 owners colluded to keep him out of the league. And there was some interesting things found when, a lot of people doing research about this. In the collective bargaining agreement, if it's found that at least 14 owners were colluding in any way, the CBA is terminated.
Mm.
But still, it's hard to prove any collusion because the teams don't have to give a reason really why they won't sign somebody. I mean, it can be obvious, like, okay, he gets in too much trouble off the field, or he's just not that good. I mean, there are reasons that, you know, any fan can see, but they don't have to say why. They don't have to give a reason. It's just, we just go off what we can see, and that's not enough proof.
Right.
So, you know, even if with the Titans signing Brandon Whedon instead of him, even though it was like, okay, this is collusion now, proof.
How old is Brandon Whedon? 40?
Well, he was 26 when he got drafted.
That was like 8 years ago.
That was 3 years ago.
No, Brandon Whedon was not 3 years ago.
He was in 2012. No, five years ago. He's in the same draft as Luck and Griffin and Wilson.
So that's 12. So that's 5 years. And he was...
I think he was like 28 when he got drafted.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he's like
33, 34 now.
He's like 34. And you telling me you going to sign him off the couch over Kaepernick?
Well, they say the proof could be just...
collusion.
That can't be proof. Like, okay, well, we see it like, okay, yeah, that's collusion. But that does not count as proof.
For what Kaepernick's attorney said yesterday, that there is some evidence that will be released here pretty soon that will kind of substantiate their claim. So that's what I'm waiting on. Wow. Whether that's an email, whether that's, you know, other, he said some people will come out to corroborate what they're saying. And I saw this yesterday.
And there's still the possibility to where, like, if he doesn't win, it can, like, as of right now, it's just like through an arbitrator, but it can eventually go to court, in which the NFL will be compelled to participate in depositions. Like Roger Goodell might have to take the stand if it gets that far.
Wow. I think some people shaking in their boots.
Oh, it's some scared.
Yeah,
some scared,
no doubt about it. So my thing, because one would think, why would you file for collusion when it's almost impossible, other than sending them a list of backup quarterbacks and saying, this is my proof? I mean, besides that, you really don't have any. But, you know, Hancock just mentioned that the lawyers got a little sum up their sleeve.
At this first level, there's no proof. But, right, like I said, it can go to court.
This is going to be good. So, yeah, this is going to be good. All right, question number four. Fellas, D-Will, Hancock, the NBA season started last night. We understand what happened. We mentioned it, you know, here previously about the Gordon Hayward. But besides that, and I start with you, D-Will, your thoughts on the first night of the NBA that we have been looking so forward to get into this season based on all of these trades and things of that nature?
To be honest with you, the excitement was very high pregame, all right? Leading into the first game, which was Cleveland and Boston, which has all the dramas of a Hollywood soap opera set, all right? This is Days of Our Lives being played out at 8 o'clock at night. On a Tuesday night. But the surprising part was the high level of basketball that was being played. Both games came down to the wire. They were interesting and they kept you engaged. It was some, you know, some high level plays. And, you know, 5 minutes into the Cleveland game, as we've already mentioned, Gordon Hayward breaks his ankle in one of the most gruesome injuries we've seen in the NBA, in an NBA game. And that kind of put a somber mood on the night. You know, it took away some of the luster. And to be honest with you, I think it really, really, really took away the buildup that the NBA was trying to build, this rivalry between Boston and Cleveland. Once Hayward got hurt, you saw all that go out the door. And you saw most Cleveland players stepping down to pray. You saw them going over to him, wishing him well. So it kind of put a damper on the NBA's narrative to make this Boston hates Cleveland type of thing, especially with Kyrie making the comments prior to the game, hey, I'm in Boston. I'm finally in a sports town. So it was a lot they could have built up. But for the product on the court last night, it was very good, both games. The games tonight are even better, with Washington and
Sixers.
We're going to see the process. And then also with the West Coast, with Minnesota, with all that talent that they have accumulated over the offseason, going up against San Antonio Spurs, who are good every year. So I'm saying I'm excited. Last night was great, and the NBA's back.
All right, Han. You straight over there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Your thoughts on the NBA first night?
Well, my thoughts were basically the same as a real bad, you know, way to start the season.
Right.
Hope it's not an omen of things or what's the word? Harbinger of things to come. How about y'all like that? Let's hope it doesn't, you know, this doesn't continue, man. We want to have everybody as healthy as possible. I did see some good things out of Boston. I would have loved to have seen them kind of grow with Haywood because
I can't tell from your text last night.
But hey, they picked it up in the second half, and they do play, you know, a good brand of basketball, and they play defense. That's the one thing. I was real impressed with Marcus Smart, to be honest with you. You know, I have been kind of hot and cold on him. But to
Mostly cold.
To see him, he picked it up last night, and he played well. I like Rozier. They have a lot of quality pieces from being so bad.
Right.
They have a lot of quality pieces that could turn into a good basketball team, but they need some shooting. And I think that's what would have helped last night was Gordon.
I was just going to say, like, what I would recommend for Boston, I know I'm not a coach or nothing, but start Marcus Smart at point guard.
Oh, he will be.
And get Kyrie moving, have him coming off screens like they did with Isaiah. And I think that will at least fill the void for right now without Hayward. But I do think they need to make a move and come off some of those picks.
Right. And the other thing, the Golden State situation. Golden State last night epitomized everything about what they are.
Right.
And that is that everybody says they're the most disrespected good team I've ever seen. And I say that because the same way with Draymond. Draymond is one of the best players that everybody says he wouldn't be nothing if he was somewhere else. But without him on the floor last night, you saw what happened.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's not only the defense that he provides. He gets them into offense. And you can see it. He had a triple-double going in third quarter. He was 1 point away from a triple-double. And when he went out, the offense got stagnant and the defense suffered bad. So to me, he's just what Golden State is. They're disrespected as one of the great teams, and he's disrespected as an all-star player.
Right.
He is.
I can't argue with you. You know, there would be some people that would say maybe it's a big cog out of the chink that makes the chemistry not go as well. But, you know, they had to adjust to KD being out last year as well.
And what did they do?
They adjusted.
And they did they lose?
No.
The whole time he was out.
Exactly. You know, it was an adjustment for the chemistry piece. They didn't lose, but you saw it grow.
And Steph did what? Took off.
He took off. And then when he came back, everything came back down. So that's the proof of, you know, it's almost like if you got that one player, no matter what it is, who goes out on this side, as long as he's there to make these calls or whatever the case may be.
One other thing to prop that up. They would be three-time defending NBA champion if he wasn't suspended in game five.
If he didn't get suspended for kicking the kahunas.
So that's what I'm saying. He is the linchpin. Mm-hmm. No matter what people want to say, whatever it is, it's Draymond. Mm-hmm. They can survive with Klay being out of lineup for a moment. Yep. They can survive without Steph. I'm not saying they could win it all.
Yeah.
But they can survive. If Draymond is out for any extended period of time, they got problems.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I agree. All right, question number five.
Glute.
The Major League Baseball playoffs, and basically I'm just going to give you a rundown of what's going on. Actually, right now, the Yankees leading.
Yankees.
They up already?
They up 4-0. So if they win tonight, that'll be three straight.
Three straight.
No, you best believe baseball is looking for Yankees and Dodgers. They want that good.
Oh, they want that.
That's old school.
Yeah, and the thing about it, this is the thing. I can't remember the guy's name hit the home run the same day that Kirk Gibson hit his walk-off home run.
Oh, yeah. Who was that?
Yeah, so that was...
Come on, you baseball historian.
Yeah.
Justin Turner.
Look at them, man. Look at y'all.
Yeah. Hey, the same day, October the 15th, walk-off, 25 years ago, the walk-off home run.
I remember like it was yesterday. Just,
you know, so, and the Dodgers play tonight at 9 o'clock, so the Dodgers are up 3-0, and... you talked about the Cubs. You saying that they would make a run,
right.
But what's happening now is the bats just
have silent.
Disappeared.
Yeah.
Silent. They disappeared in Darvish and Kershaw. And this Taylor kid and Puig.
Thank you.
Puig is the one who.
That's the catch.
Oh, my. Listen.
Give him his love.
13 RBIs from the bottom of the lineup. 6, 7, 8, and 9 place hitters. 13 RBIs for the series.
Because the moment not too big, huh?
Exactly.
He like Dion. You know, I'm serious. Yeah. I'm not saying. Yeah. Yeah, but what I'm saying is, to him, he just playing.
Yeah.
He's not up. He's not worried about nothing. He had the plan.
free spirit.
Sticking his tongue out the camera. Just playing. He just playing.
Now, he flipped this bat a little too early, though.
Don't matter. I don't care.
Let him do what he does.
Yeah, let him do what he does.
You don't want to change that.
Exactly.
Hey, can we give the strikeout king of this year, Aaron Judge, some big props on his hit last night?
Yes.
Because who thought with 2 on him going up in that position, everybody knew he was going to strike out.
Man, it was.
And that was a big hit.
Big hit. Yeah. And that may have been the drink to stir everything up at this point.
Mm. 10 years ago, would he have finished the season in the majors, or would they have sent him down with that big slump he had in the middle of the season?
Oh, no, they'd have sent him
because
down.
What? Now, strikeouts don't mean what?
Yeah,
they don't mean nothing now. Yeah. The game has changed. It's like the 3-point in basketball.
Things
have changed.
Exactly. And plus, Tony Gwynn was playing, and he ain't struck out yet. So, that's the measurement.
Yeah, the game has changed.
All right, that's going to do it for the hot news for tonight. Again, sponsored by the Big Easy Grill. Please go over to the Big Easy Grill. Matter of fact, we will be at the Big Easy Grill this Saturday, 12 to 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Come on out and meet the crew. Come on out and eat some seafood and some food with us and all that other kind of stuff, man. And we'll have some trivia and games and things of that nature. Right now, it is time to get into our college football rankings. And we do it by giving you the SRT College Football Power 10.
All college football polls matter? Not at the Sports Roundtable. It's time for the SRT Power 10.
What's up, everybody? And welcome to this week's edition of the SRT Power 10. It goes a little something like this. The top 4 this week consist of Alabama at number 1.
Whoop.
Again, unanimous selection with our Power 10. Number 2, we have a new guy. That's Penn State coming in with 43 points. At number 3, the Georgia Bulldogs with 42 points.
Boy, that was tight.
TCU brings in as our new entry into the Power 10 top 4 with 35 votes. And so I don't know. What do you think? Is TCU for real? Is this for good? What do y'all feel on those?
I like TCU, and I that was my exact 4 I had. But I'm gonna tell you, we're down on the Big 12.
Yes.
Okay. Like let's just keep it real. We don't on this show in our Power 10. We don't get the Big 12 much love.
Right.
All right. Rightfully so at times, but TCU shows. They have the one thing that you need in college football, the same thing as college basketball. You got to have a point guard to make a long run. Kenny Hill.
He's doing his thing.
He can sling the football. Now, his gunslinger mentality might hurt him at times, but he still has that mentality that, hey, let's go deep and get it done.
Yeah.
The rest of the Power 10 goes as follows. Wisconsin at number 5. Clemson and Ohio State tied for 6. Number 7, we have the Miami Hurricane at number 8. The Oklahoma Sooners at number 9. We have another tie with the Oklahoma State Cowboys and the Washington Cougars. Washington Huskies,
Huskies.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Huskies.
Washington State Cougars.
Washington State is out of our top 10. At number 10, we had a tie also. So we actually got 16 teams in the top 10. Not quite, but it seems that way. But anyway, USC and Notre Dame tied for 10th place. And with that being said, some of the notes you'll see, a big note this weekend is that Notre Dame and USC play, so I guess they won't be ranked together next weekend. What do y'all think on that game? I know we'll probably get into a little bit of college football, but who are you looking at in that game?
I do like Notre Dame. I like what they've done this year. They running backs have gotten better throughout the season. They got a two-headed monster. The quarterback has definitely gotten better, and I like their defense. I just don't trust Mr. Sam. And they only got one player to me, and that's the running back, Jones. Is it Jones? And, you know, I think Notre Dame can load the box up and just kind of set it down.
Where's this game being played?
It is at South Bend.
Yeah.
Yeah, USC is traveling.
Yeah,
well, Georgia went in there this year and squeaked out a win. So, yeah. But I don't
yeah,
think.
Yeah, but their quarterback's not throwing the ball to the other team.
Exactly. And I don't think USC is as physical as Georgia is.
Exactly.
Other big game. One other big game in our Power 10 this weekend is Michigan-Penn State. So Michigan's struggling on offense, but that defense is for real.
Yep.
So I want to see them go up against Barkley. So that's something that will be interesting. Other notes out of the top 10, biggest drop was Washington from 5 to 9, Clemson from 2 to 6. And as I mentioned before, new entry into the top 4 was TCU. That rounds out your SRT Power 10 for this week.
All right. I think TCU is – what hurts TCU is the reputation of their conference. What TCU do have is a great coach, Patterson. They got an excellent defense that they always have. And maybe your expectation for Kenny Hill wasn't as high as others. So I think they are in a good spot. I think this could be the karma that they didn't get in a couple of years ago. The first year.
Yeah.
That, you know, so they at this point they can't make no excuses.
Right.
You at number 4 at this point, and I think the rankings come out next week.
I think it does.
The playoff rankings come out.
No, they came out last night. Didn't they?
Did it start? No, I thought it was next week.
It's next
week. You sure?
Yeah.
They had a show last night.
Yeah, probably pre-show
last
night. Pre-show, yeah. They come out
next
week.
They try to compete with basketball.
So if USC loses this week, is the Pac-12 dead? Can you stick a fork in?
They are.
I got to see the rest of Washington's schedule.
Yes.
They walking.
I would say yes.
They walking dead.
I mean, Washington's non-conference is going to kill them. And
yeah,
they lost.
They bad.
They went and lost to Cal.
37-7.
And they got blown out.
37-3. Excuse me. I don't think they scored.
Yeah.
So you think that? I think that. I'm willing to put a fork in them.
Oh, yeah. I think.
I think USC's out there.
It'll be a bad thing. And especially if they don't show up. It's going to really be bad. So we got to talk about some other stuff, but we got to go ahead and get to a commercial. We get back. We got our main man, Rain Man, Slick Money, calling in. Give us his pick and went perfect last week. And we also got Ballers and Busters. You listen to Sports Roundtable, SRTRadio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network. Saturday afternoons in the fall. A great time to enjoy football, friends, and the best New Orleans seafood restaurant in Atlanta. What could make a Saturday better than that? How about the best sports talk radio show in Atlanta? That's right. Every third Saturday will be SRT Saturdays at the Big Easy Grill, located at 1193 Collier Road in Atlanta. Join us at our next event on October 21st from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. Come by and meet the crew of the hottest sports talk radio show in Atlanta. We'll be talking sports, of course, and we'll also have trivia contests where you can win prizes. That's Sports Roundtable Saturday on October 21st at the Big Easy Grill, located at 1193 Collier Road in Atlanta. We hope to see you there.
Okay, so where do more Americans turn first in the morning to start their day? Go on, tell them, Robin.
Good morning, America.
George.
Good morning, America.
Lara.
Good morning, America.
So, take it from Robin.
Put some good in your morning.
With ABC's Good Morning America.
Sports Roundtable.
I'm proud of you, D-Wood. I'll be honestly, I am so proud of me.
Hit the bell.
We can pick Auburn at anything.
Means he must really ain't clear.
Yeah,
it's not that I. They beat us, bro. On a pick play.
So it's all coming to effect.
That is. I was wondering now I feel the breeze.
Only on 1100 AM, the Worldwide Radio Network.
Are you ready for some football? Are you ready to win some fruit cups?
Those who are tardy do not get fruit cups.
Well, get ready, because it's time for the Rain Man's Picks of the Week.
Sports Roundtable back at you. And as you know, it's about that time. Each and every week around this time, we get our main man, the Rain Man. And he's on the phone with us. And hey, man, you look like you had a perfect week last week.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Did pretty good for the
sleep money.
Hey, listen, you had that, what they call it, the comeback?
Yeah, comeback.
The comeback. Woo, boy, you was icing them last week, huh?
It's like you can't come back if you ain't never left. Huh? What's up with it?
Yeah, man, I'm excited, bro. I'm hoping for another bounce back week where we can put some cupcakes or fruit cups. What y'all call it?
Fruit cups, baby.
Fruit cups, okay. Yeah, just let me know what you want. Yeah, good week last week, man. Looking forward to bounce back and do it again.
Hey, so, but I will say before we start, that Boise State win was very impressive. I didn't see that. That was like, wow. That was woo. That was big.
Yeah, I think that San Diego State is a really good team, and they were just due to have a letdown. I didn't think they was going to get beat like that, but I thought the 8 was good because they always play each other tough. So Boise State came through for me.
Yeah, it was a good call. So
yeah, it was a good call.
Little Memphis loving wide receiver Cedric Wilson, baby.
That's right, Hancock.
All right, Slick. All right, let's go ahead and get this thing started, man. So who do you have for your lock for this week?
For my lock this week, I'm going in college. And I'm going to, I guess it's Nittany Lion Stadium where Penn State played. For some reason, I like Michigan plus the 10. I think that's a lot of points for a rivalry game. I think Penn State wins the game, but Michigan keeps it close. I like Michigan Wolverine plus 10.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I'm not mad at you.
And they, I told you, I think they favored by 10.
Yeah, I'm not saying Penn State is a fraud, but they got fraud tendencies.
Right.
I think they're good, but I think they're a little overrated, to be honest with you. That's just my view.
I agree with you, Hancock. And I think Michigan keep this game close. I don't think Harbaugh really get blowed out. He keep play close all his games. It's prime time. Everything's going to be completely white. But I think Michigan goes in either, I ain't going to call it upset, but they play within the 10. I like the 10.
All right. So give me your team, the game that you feel is going to be a little more than like a blowout like Boise State did last week.
Okay, and I don't know if y'all going to agree with me, but I know Hancock will. I like that University of Central Florida. They're giving up 7 going to Navy. Central Florida probably averaging about 100 points a game. I think Navy has ran their course. Now, don't get me wrong, Navy played good at home, but I think Central Florida is the real deal. They win by more than 7.
I'm with you.
That's Scott Frost, right?
That's him.
Yeah. All right, Slick, give me your upset pick this week.
Okay, now I hope y'all with me now because I got an upset in the pros and I got an upset in the college. Okay. The one in the college, y'all might be shocked, but you shouldn't be shocked. I'm going down to, I guess, Steve, is that Oxford where Ole Miss play?
That's it.
Oxford.
I'm taking Ole Miss plus 7 at home on primetime ESPN. I think they upset LSU.
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss plus what?
Plus 7,
okay.
Got to go to the Grove, baby. Got to go to the Grove. Uh-oh, my Aunt Sheila just checked in. She an LSU fan. She ain't going to like that pick.
All right, well, tell her I still love her, but don't get me wrong. They owe him a whooping, so I think it's going to happen Saturday night. Now, in my NFL upset pick, I can't figure this out to save my life, but Denver Broncos is getting 1 on the road at the Chargers. The Chargers do play tough. I can't see Denver losing back-to-back games. I think take Denver into 1 to beat the Chargers at the Chargers Stadium.
Yeah, they mad at where they play at right now. I think they playing in a
soccer stadium,
a recreation field.
Yeah, it's a soccer field, but their fans for the opposing teams bring more fans than the regular city team. So yeah. I like the Broncos. Broncos is a big follower, so they'll go in and it'll be a home game for Denver. I think Denver beat the Chargers.
All right.
And you're getting 1 point.
There you go. All right, give me your bonus picks if you have any.
Yes, I have a couple bonus picks, and it's going to be the Buffalo Bills. I think Tampa Bay without Jameis Winston not being 100%, not sure if he's going to play or he's a little gimpy. I like Buffalo minus the 3 at home to beat Tampa. And I'm like Hancock, you know, we talk all the time. I like Green Bay. It's crazy as it may seem. New Orleans is probably the better team right now, but losing Aaron Rodgers and everybody going to go against them and take New Orleans. I like Green Bay at home plus the 6. Yep. I think they'll find a way to keep this game close. New Orleans could put it out, but then again, Green Bay might. So you got to remember, when everybody's going one way, you go the opposite way.
Right.
So I like Green Bay plus 6. And the other game, another extra bonus, I like San Francisco plus 6 against the Cowboys at home. San Francisco have played tough every game this year.
Yep.
I think Dallas go in and win, but you can take San Francisco plus 6 at home.
Wow. Boy, you sound like you energized about this week. That undefeated week must have gave you some injection or something, baby.
Wow. Yeah, I'm a little disappointed, man, because y'all should be wealthy by now, and I've been letting y'all down, so I got to get y'all back on top.
All right, Slick, I got Michigan plus 10, Ole Miss plus 7, and Denver plus 1. UCF, is that minus 7 or 8?
It's minus 7, yeah,
minus
at
7.
Navy.
Yeah, at Navy. And you're taking the Bills minus 3, Green Bay plus 6, and San Francisco plus 6 versus Dallas.
That is correct, sir.
That is correct. My man, tell us a little something before you get ready to leave. Any shouts out or anything you want to let us know? What's going on?
Yeah, shout out to the greatest sports talk show, SRT, D-Jizzle, Greg Hancock. Boogie, I'm on my way home,
baby. There it is, baby. There it is.
And H.O. and H3, love you guys. Sixth man of the year. Y'all doing a great job, guys. Can't wait to see y'all next week. Let's go get this bread.
There you go, man. Thanks again, man. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, man. Thanks, guys. Good luck.
Absolutely. I like some of these picks.
Yeah,
I'm going to be honest with you. You know, speaking of picks, let's go ahead and give our picks, our lock of the week. And I think I'm going to have to go back to do what I normally do.
Uh-oh. We're going small school.
Absolutely.
Uh-oh.
We going smart. Listen.
Yes, sir. He going.
I was listening to a financial guy on the way to work. And he said it's best to just count dollars, count singles, rather than trying to load up and hit it big. I'm going with Eastern Michigan plus 4 versus Western Michigan. So I'm going back to the root. That's what I was known for, and that's what I my fruit cups come from. So I'm going back with the smallest thing. And they at home. So.
I'm going to piggyback off Slick Money. I'm going to take Buffalo Bills plus the 3. I like that. Jameis down.
Minus 3.
I'm sorry. I'm going to look at it wrong. Minus the 3. I
like
gonna
that. I'm going to jump on that too then.
We run towards that real quick.
Misspeak. Yeah, with Jameis being down and Buffalo coming off a bye, I like that. Also, keep an eye on Seattle this week coming off a bye. I think I kind of like them this week too.
Okay.
But Buffalo, I take Buffalo minus the 3.
All right. G-Money.
All right, from the college ranks, I am taking Syracuse plus 16.
Coming off a big win, okay.
Against Miami.
Ooh.
Considering how
I thought you was going to take them against.
Against who?
I thought you were going to take about a team that beat last week. You can't lose if you took them last week.
Oh, no. yeah, they're a plus 16 at Miami. I don't trust Miami yet.
I agree.
I don't think anyone should trust them yet. And the way that they played last week, it may be like hot and muggy and rainy again. From what it looks like, so you know,
yeah,
y'all. I think people should take weather into account sometimes.
I
start is going to have an effect later on, but I think Syracuse. I don't think they're going to have like a. I don't think they'll win the game, but I think it'll be like a one possession game.
Okay,
so
look into that then.
Yeah, Syracuse plus 16 at Miami,
and it's going to be raining.
Right.
Yeah, Miami kind of banged up too.
Walton is still out.
Walton out for the year.
Oh.
Yeah, Walton's out for
might
the
be
year.
Something to look at. All right, D-Will, what you got?
Since my lock of the week last week came through with the Georgia Tech plus 5.5, they only lost by 1 point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, should have won.
So they covered. Hey, I don't care about the win and lose.
Just cover.
So this week, I'm going home. We've had very, 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 very big spreads against SEC competition here, and we've covered everyone. So this week is going to be a massacre in Tuscaloosa. So I'm taking Alabama minus the 35.5 points. Ooh. I know it's a big number, but I think Tennessee, you can stick a fork in them, and Alabama is coming out, and you see we were 63-3 against Vanderbilt. We put up another 60 spot. Then we just blew. Listen to me. It's going down this Saturday. Hey. Tennessee is our number one rival over Auburn. So understand, we're going to be smoking cigars on Saturday night. I'm going to get me a big boy cigar from Big H.
No.
Damn you.
I'm going to be smoking me a stogie, because when we beat Tennessee, you fired the stogies. Why, I forgot the tradition, but I'm going to smoke one anyway. Just to let you know, book it. 35.5 points. I'm taking Bama. And I got to shout out my hometown school. They're playing very well right now. Alabama State University, they beat Texas Southern last week. I didn't have a line on the game. I'm hoping they'll start giving us lines on some swag games, because Bama State looking good.
Ooh, okay.
That's just a little, you know, a little swag for
you. You mad at
you? Nothing wrong with that. All right. Before we get into our bottles and bustles, let's go ahead and get into some other news. And let's do this real quick if we can. The Falcons lose to Miami this past Sunday. You know, everybody throwing up in the arms and panicking and things of that nature. But real quick, they were 6-4 last year, 7-5 last year. Are you still hopeful for the Falcons?
I think you have to start looking at them a little different, man. And it's because it's a pattern that's growing. And that is that they slow down late in games.
For some reason,
they let teams back in. They cannot put their foot on people's throat. And it's becoming a pattern, which, yeah, that's kind of worrisome, man. Mm. I don't know what it is, if the defense is just not, the physicality of the game gets to them, because they're really not a big defense. Last year, like I said, they could depend on the offense.
Right.
But the offense is not scoring. I think it's a lot going on with that offense coordinator. So,
exactly.
It's getting a little scary to me, to be honest with you.
Okay. D-Will, real quick, if you got any thoughts on it.
I'm saying something has to be fixed for that second half. I don't think that's a coincidence. I believe that's more of a trend. Mm-hmm. You know, and we are seeing the – I'm not trying to put it all on Sarkisian, but you see the hurdles in continuity that they're having right now. Matt Ryan's back to being the Matt Ryan that throws the crucial interception. He's done it the last couple of weeks. He had 2 weeks ago, 2 the week before that. Then they had to buy Nice coming off. He's still throwing interceptions, okay? And I understand the interception to Hooper was he forced it in there, and Hooper should have caught the ball, so that really wasn't no Matt. But my thing is, if you're going to force a ball into double coverage, force it to Julio.
Thank you.
But this is the thing, though, with that. I agree with you. But if you are a receiver, you are taught to catch it here. Yeah. Don't let it get here.
Don't let it get to your
body.
If
you catch it there, but
I ain't going to have that conversation with him. I'm having it with Julio.
If they can
force that ball to AB over and over and over.
And we saw what happened this past weekend.
Throw the ball to Julio. I don't think he's getting enough looks, man.
I
don't know. How many times are they talking to him again? Have you checked that?
It's not double digits.
Yeah, it's not. Last
game it was 7.
See, I just think they don't target him enough, man. He doesn't have a touchdown this year.
Right.
Zero touchdowns.
But this goes to G's money's point. You got a defensive coach running the team, so the offense suffers.
Well, I'm saying, and I also think that's on a little bit on Sarkisian, because I don't know if he completely knows how to utilize all his weapons right now.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. And see, we can all jump and you know, I'm not going to even get into all that.
I'll just let you know, he's averaging about 7 targets a game.
See, that's not – he should be around 14.
Yeah. I'd like to see how many deep balls he's getting, because I think you just got it. He's a beast. Give him a chance.
I agree for sure. All right, man, let's – we can get back to that. We're going to obviously get back to some other news as well. But right now it is time to get into one of my favorite segments. This is called the Ballers and Busters.
Other radio shows may have their players of the week, but at the Sports Roundtable, we have our ballers.
Ballin'.
And our busters.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
Hi. This is a rendition. This is a Uncle Luke situation where he's the man because of the award show last week. Everybody gave him a lot of props and things of that nature. I get it. My baller this week goes out to Boston College running back A.J. Dillon. He shredded, and that is the adjective, he shredded the Cardinals, Louisville, for 272 yards, 4 touchdowns, including a YouTube highlight stiff arm on safety Chuck Williams as he stiffed arm to the ground and sprinted 75 yards.
Went
for
to the
score.
House.
So Boston College did beat Louisville. And A.J. Dillon, he going to be a monster in the pros. If he keep, he kind of run like Blunt.
No, that's high praise.
He run like LeGarrette Blunt a little bit. But that's my baller for this week.
All right. Well, my baller goes to A.D., A.P., A.G.B., whatever.
Talk to him.
But like I said, Adrian Peterson needed an opportunity. And we talked about it, and I'm trying not to break my arm patting myself on the back. Mm-hmm. But like I said, what would happen is Larry Fitzgerald and everybody would start to eat a little bit because the safeties would have to pay attention to AD. And that's what happened. You saw the offense look like maybe 3 or 4 years younger than you.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Palmer looked like he's ready to contend for, you know, a player of the year. But that's due to Adrian Peterson getting the football. You have to give him the ball. I think he still, like I said, had tread on the tires, and AD didn't let me down. He carried the ball, 26 times, had 134 yards with a 5.2-yard average and 2 touchdowns. For a washed-up, over-the-hill back, 18, let me get it.
18 points in fantasy.
It is. AD, baby. My All right. baller.
All right, D-Money.
All right, my baller of the week, it's co-ballers of the week. It'll be two of the killer bees of the Steelers, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. Bell had 32 carries, 179 yards, and a touchdown. And Antonio Brown had 8 catches for 155 and a touchdown. He was targeted 10 times. So, Sarkisian, you listening?
Give it to him.
Double-digit targets for Julio. I'm not including Ben Roethlisberger in that yet, only because, most of his yards, the plan is, you know, throw the ball to Antonio Brown and give the ball to Le'Veon Bell. It seems like anybody can do that, but, you know, I'll give him his props, but he's not my co-baller of the week.
Okay.
But in a 19-13 win over the Chiefs at home, maybe the Steelers have their number after beating them last year in the playoffs. So, yeah. Got to give them credit. Give the ball to your guys.
Yeah,
and that is their plan. That needs to be their plan from here on out.
I agree. All right, D. Will.
All right, for the second week in a row, I'm going Homer because the man is lighting it up, and that's going to be running back for the Alabama Crimson Tide, Damian Harris.
D. Will must have his TV on the loop.
Hey,
it's some more teams out there, D-Will.
No, but when the guy is playing like this, you got to give him his props.
Got to get up.
He is a baller. This week he goes 9 carries, 125 yards, 2 touchdowns, 13.9 average per carry. The guy is averaging 10.3 yards per carry on the season. All right. He needs to start getting some Heisman love. With all the Heisman talk and people talking around, who's putting up better numbers than Damian Harris right now? And especially putting the team on his back, making the run game, which is number one in the country, because of him. So I understand it's a lot out there, but Damian Harris is balling out. He is coming from the babyface assassin to a grown age man. So give him his props. Damian Harris is my baller of the week. Second week in a row.
But
and if he does it again,
can we go ahead and write him down for next week too?
Yeah, but
put Damian Harris down next week.
Hey, if he go for another 125 on less than 10 carries with 2 touchdowns, he will be in.
I heard that.
Quick question for you. What'd you think of Derrick Henry? his game the other night.
Derrick Henry had a very, very, very good game of on what was that, Monday night?
That was Monday.
With the big 75-yard closeout
he
touchdown.
He got good straightaway speed, no doubt about it.
And we've always said that, but what we always noticed, even when Derrick Henry was at Alabama, he's such a big physical running back. By the fourth quarter, you no longer want to hit him. Yeah. And you saw that Monday night in that game.
Yeah, they just got to get
it. Just the thing that's holding them back is they got two running backs. Yeah.
DeMarco Murray
needs to be the lead guy. I'm not saying he shouldn't share time, but he should be the dominant back.
Right. But can we – let's go back for a minute. Let's rewind. His baller, right?
Yeah.
2 weeks in a row.
Right.
But can y'all remind him who actually brought him up?
Yeah, you did.
I brought him up in the conversation.
You did?
Yeah.
You changed his name, but
yeah, you ain't. You ain't get his name right, but it's okay.
Yeah, but I figured you. That was the cue for it.
You knew it on the T for it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, man, let's get to these busters. My bust of the week. I'm going Homer like D. Will.
Uh-oh.
My bust of the week is the Atlanta Falcons.
Oof.
So let me ask y'all a question. Miami ranks last in third down. They rank last in every offensive category in the league. Last. How many teams in the league?
32.
Yeah. They rank 32nd in offense.
Yeah.
And on third down, they had over 20 first downs against the Atlanta defense.
How many were, did you see how many were in the second half? They had to be in second because they didn't score in the first half, so it had to be second half. Most
20 first downs. On the Atlanta Falcons defense. The run defense is horrible.
Yeah.
Maybe to your point, maybe we too fast and not physical enough.
Right.
That's that, you know.
They're wearing
so,
down.
You know, listen.
You just can't. I don't care. Listen, I'm glad you gave that great analysis, but you can't lose to Jay Cutler.
No.
That's my whole point.
I'm telling you what it is, though. It's because, like, last year you made teams one-dimensional.
Yeah, I agree
you
with
could
you.
Could rush the passer. Now it's people staying in the game, they're running the football, keeping you on the field.
Keeping
you on the field.
Yeah, exactly. You got to get out of the field. Listen, and the thing about it is, for all these people talking about, you know, it kills me when people who don't know what they talking about talking. Like, on every play, every single play, everybody got a job. Everybody.
Right.
Everybody got a job to do. Hooper missed the block. Schrader missed the block. Everybody has a job to do on every single play. So it's not about who's to blame. It's about who did their job on this play. And you get the person to not do their job if you're on the opposite side. That's all this is.
Right.
You just try to, who does the job? That's all it is. If the center does not get the ball to the quarterback, nobody can do their job. So then that's it. It just breaks down.
Dang.
It is the ultimate team game. So if you can't do your job, you're not going to be successful in doing it. But obviously, they're not doing their job on defense because Jay Ajayi running, I mean, the whole AFC East has just ran through Atlanta's
one
defense.
One play epitomized it was the catch that 14 made to first down end the game.
Yes. He caught the ball 3 yards short of the first down.
And was Landry?
Landry. Great. I mean, just, to me, that showed everything.
And then Grady Jarrett, anyway. All right.
That was the Super Bowl MVP until the Super Bowl went.
Yeah, until Brady.
Yeah, they just keep moving.
Yeah, well, my buster goes to the officiating crew of the New England Patriots and the New York Jets. For one of the worst calls I have ever seen in my life.
Yes.
I don't know what a catch is. What he caught the ball, and yeah, it came loose, but he got control and hit the pylon. What happens when you hit the pylon with
touchdown.
The football? And so the play ends no matter what, right?
No matter what.
If you break the plane with a football, they can slap it out of your hands, right?
It doesn't matter.
Everything is over as soon as you cross the goal line or hit the power line.
I agree. Yeah.
Why is that not a touchdown? When you overturn a call, there's supposed to be definitive, undisputable evidence that you don't have control of the ball. I've seen every angle, and I cannot tell where he did not have it. You see what I'm saying?
Crossing
the goal line, right, or hitting the pylon. You can't see it, so you can't overturn it. That's supposed to be the first thing that you say. It has to be indisputable, right? So, to me, my buster goes to that officiating crew and the NFL for standing behind it, because that was crap. And they did it for what team?
The Patriots.
And that's to call it a fumble and a touchback, doesn't the ball actually have to be fumbled?
Fumbled away.
Yeah, away. Doesn't it have to roll out of his hand and go out of bounds, out of the back of the end zone? Like, how do I fumble with the ball in my hand? I'm confused. I believe they outthought themselves. They outrule booked themselves on that.
They are.
What's funny is that also with the you know how with the games they have like the got former referees, like, well, I think with this is what they'll call. They talked to two guys and they both said, well, there's no real evidence that it went out of bounds, right, or that he fumbled, so they can't overturn that. And they still overturned.
That's crazy. Never seen it. That's crazy.
All right, my buster of the week goes to the formerly undefeated Washington Huskies.
Oh,
they just laid an egg, or rotten egg, or whatever the phrase is.
All over themselves.
Egg on their face and hands. Arizona State was giving up 36.4 points per game. They had not given up less than 30 this season, and they held Washington to 7. And they had given up 30 points in 11 straight games, which was the longest streak in the nation.
Wow.
And with Washington, they were averaging 43 points a game. They managed 7.
And they got that in the fourth quarter
with 5 minutes left. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a real buster for real. Jake Browning, whatever. All right, D.
Okay, I got dual busters. All right, the first one is just gonna be a stab. My dual buster first is Gus Malzahn. Gus Malzahn, how many games can you blow? Okay, like, I know I'm just digging, but how many games can you actually blow? How many recruits can you actually lose in 1 year? How many people are you going to kick off the team before you kick yourself? Okay, moving right along. My real bust of the week, Auburn used terrible. My real bust of the week, Troy. I'm staying in Alabama.
Mm.
Troy, after coming off beating LSU.
Right.
How can you go up against a 1-3 South Alabama team and only score 8 points?
And lose my money.
And lose.
I had them.
Troy, 8 points against 1-3 South Alabama. Now 2-4 after the big win at Troy. This was not on the road. This was a home game. So my buster of the week is the entire Troy program after coming off a huge win against LSU to go and lay an egg against a terrible South Alabama team who is last in the Sun Belt Conference. Troy, you are my buster of this week. And my buster A is, of course, the Auburn Tigers and Gus Malzahn. Appreciate my brother Tay for that.
Is that where Malcolm Butler went, or did he go to West Alabama?
No, he went to West Alabama.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like maybe he like stuck in uniform for South Alabama.
They didn't look like the same team, man.
Yeah, Chargers, they just stunk it up. Boy, I tell you, that's the epitome of coming off a big win. It does not bode well. All right, man, we're waiting on our main man, Deshaun Tate, to get in here. But after we come back, we got the second half of the show. We got to talk about this college basketball and what's going on. Rick Pitino gets the axe. And we're going to talk about a little NBA as well, man. So that Sports Roundtable, discussion will be coming up second half of the show. You listen to the Sports Roundtable, srtradio.com.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
You're tuned into WWE. AM 1100. Worldwide Radio Network.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Are you looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car to get you around the city or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker and mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap.
Sports Roundtable. LeVar Ball says he will withdraw his son Melo and train him for the next 2 years. Homeschool him and train him.
I thought about this from a different angle. Like with the Big Baller brand, you know, you want to have more control over your merchandise. You know, let's start our own business.
Right.
So in this case, I believe he will be on the way to starting his own school. Big Baller Academy, stay in your lane. Prep.
Only on 1100 AM, the Worldwide Radio Network.
Uh-oh, Breezy.
Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
SRT crew.
Whoa.
SRT. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in their DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. HO got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. They were the strong. I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Bleed it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable. Thanks for tuning in. We are in hour number two. Hour number one was super duper as always. Got our main man is in the building, just came in, man. He was signing autographs outside, couldn't even get in the building. Oh, have mercy. You know, must have been a Michigan fan out there talking trash.
Oh.
See, we had to stay out there and get his thing on, you know. But, hey, before we move on, man, we had a great first hour of the show. We talked about the hot news and the things that's going on and got some picks going on, so y'all make sure go to the podcast and listen to the first hour of the show if you did miss it. In other news, it's 5-0 Yankees, by the way. In other news, Ezekiel Elliott's situation has kind of been back and forth. So, Z, can you kind of give us an update on what's actually going on with Zeke?
Well, right now, he was granted another temporary restraining order. because from what I found, the judge that was to hear the case was literally on vacation. So nothing could really be done. It's bought him another 2 weeks. So in 2 weeks, there should be some form of a final decision, whether the suspension's overturned or he does serve the 6 games.
I believe he's playing with fire. And I believe the Dallas Cowboys as a whole, and I know Han and G can attest to this because they're fans.
No.
No, that's right. You shut him down. That's right.
My star has been removed right
now. That's right. So, but Jerry, I think, G, you still rocking with him, right?
I got Zeke on my fantasy team, so I just need to figure out what my next step is.
Oh, my goodness. Everybody's leaving. But I think they're playing with fire by not allowing him to go ahead. It's kind of the Tom Brady and Spygate is kind of what you're getting from this, where it's going to drag on to another year and he might miss games from next year. Or it looks as if after these 2 weeks and the judge gets back, he can miss 6 games in the heart of the season.
Yeah.
And that will definitely, with Dallas already reeling, that's going to take the head off.
Well, hell, he was on vacation this week. They had a bye. So, you know.
Yeah, so if I was him, I would be skeptical with playing Z Kelly.
Yeah. Okay, G. Also, the owners had a meeting today talking about they was going to meet and talk about the flag, and I don't know why, but, you know, obviously they had mentioned changing the wording from should to it's a requirement to stand, but now we're hearing rumors that that's not going to be the case. It didn't even come up. So anything that you heard that you can kind of confirm?
I've heard kind of the same thing that Goodell had a press conference, and he said he still wants the players to stand, but they will, you know, try to address social issues with the players. It's really just it's more like, please, can you guys stand? I mean, I know it's not in the rule book, but can you please stand to keep us from looking bad?
Right.
So it's all about protecting the shield, and we don't want to look bad in front of these fans, and we're losing money. The ratings are down. That's something that 45 has been right about, but
7%.
Right. You know, the ratings are down, but
billions,
you know,
of dollars.
So the protest is working.
We don't want to lose money.
But you're not, but they not understand, yeah, the protest is working.
Exactly.
Because you're putting pressure on the powers that be.
But this is the one thing that people don't know. Or they know, but they're not paying attention to. When they used to stay in the locker room or in the tunnel, the only reason they started coming out was the military.
Yeah, cut a check. Money. CTC.
Right? Through 2009, the military started to pay the NFL for this. So now, that's what the beef is about.
Right. But everybody's missing the point, though.
Oh, yeah.
The point is, protests are supposed to make people uncomfortable, exactly, and affect the money. So they messing with the church's money. That's the so it's working. Yeah. Okay. The people are protesting now. Now people maybe stop watching. So now what they want is for the people with money to do something about what they have a problem with. Who are the people with money? NFL got money, right? Mm-hmm. So start going and making them talk to their buddies that make the laws. You see what I'm saying?
You know what else is done? It has placed the 5-year extension for Roger Goodell has been put on hold. So you really know you're messing with the money when Roger Goodell can't even get his extension, which has been going through negotiations, that's been put on hold. So it's a lot going on.
Yeah. Oh, he's messing with the money.
For sure. And then there's reports also, and we're not going to get into all this, that, you know, Master P and Kaepernick, maybe, hey, I'll help you, I'll reach out to you to start your own football league and things of that nature. But
man, sit down somewhere.
Diddy wants to do the same thing.
Diddy want
to
buy the NFL. Boy, sit down.
Oh, he wants to buy the league.
Didn't they try that with the XFL? It ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. Yeah. And they had more money than them.
That's how far
the
five.
They had Jim
McMahon.
And the
USFL.
They had Jim
McMahon. League of American Football. And
keep
the
going.
UFL. Yeah.
Keep going. It's all of them.
AAFC.
Yeah, I keep telling you, the NFL is for not losing. Not beep losing.
Oh, boy. All right, man. Now it's time to really get into some real talk because we got our main man in the building. So it's time to get into this sports roundtable discussion.
The roundtable discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
But at Miami Music is going off tonight. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sports Roundtable discussion is sponsored by Jay's Used Cars. If you need a new, used, or pre-owned car, please contact our friends at Jay's Used Cars, 3820 Lawrenceville Highway, Tucker, Georgia. Not Lawrenceville, Georgia, but Tucker. If you mention SRT or Sports Roundtable, you get a 10% discount on your down payment. Go to jaysusedcars.com for the inventory. And ladies and gentlemen, in the building, representing the Spartyville, you know, he has a lot of things to talk about. He have become social media advancement over the last couple of weeks because every post was Sparty, and it was just going off the chain. It was off the chain.
Little Detroit Lions was thrown in there.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
Hey, you can catch him on there jugging, yeah, you know, doing the victory dance.
And then, listen, so we're going to prep you, but you will hear the name Josh Jackson tonight. But our homeboy, our friend, our brother is in the building. 92.9, the game's own Deshaun Tate.
What up, though?
What up, though?
That's how we say it up there. When Sparty get a big win over the Loserines, that's how we say it. What up, though?
What up, though?
You know what I'm saying? They ask for their fancy Nancy coach and all their cute uniforms with the Jordan logo on it. And they say they wanted a night game, so we gave them a night game.
Yeah.
8-2 of the last 10 years. But forget about all that. What up? What up, though? What up, though?
Get to him.
Oh, he coming here with the guns. Spit blazing, baby. What I'm talking about. Hey, man, everything good? Listen, the NBA is back, but more importantly, if the NBA is back, guess what else is back? Within a week, within a couple of weeks, you got some teams, Midnight Madness, they call it their own thing now, but we gonna still call it Midnight Madness. But more importantly, Tate, then you can follow Tate on at Tate's Tate Sports on social media. So make sure you follow him on all social media platforms. But one of the icons in college basketball, and you know, college basketball is the bread and butter here. One of the icons got caught up in the situation with the allegations, the FBI coming into college basketball, arresting four assistant coaches and things of that nature. But now one of the icons, Rick Pitino, has finally been fired. Mm. So I just want to kind of get your thoughts on that and how will that affect college basketball moving forward?
I'm not a legal expert or anything like that. But I will say in regards to the allegations and the multiple infractions that's come down from the NCAA as well as from the FBI, I'm kind of wondering, like, why does it seem like everybody, like, is so surprised, you know? I mean, from a personal standpoint, you know, is this really surprising to anybody? You know, are we just kind of being informed of something that we kind of already knew or at least had already thought? And it's unfortunate, you know, for the sport of college basketball as a whole. But I think that in the end, you know, it will definitely, if not nothing else, clean the game up a little bit in terms of recruiting, make it at least a little bit more fair. How much, we can't really say exactly, but I will say enough to say that it's going to make it a little bit more interesting, especially for what I like to think, potentially for specific programs. You got a lot of transfer programs that a lot of guys consider. You know, you have your Gonzagas and I mean, you have a lot of just different Wichita State. I mean, the list goes on and on, but a lot of these programs are transfer programs. They'll probably quote unquote clean programs. Sometimes I wonder what it'll even do for some of the programs here in the state of Georgia, where a lot of people don't necessarily or may consider, but don't necessarily get the commitment, you know, that are quote unquote clean programs. Georgia, Georgia Tech, you know, will some of these cleaner programs get some guys? I mean, the state of Georgia is an underrated hotbed for years there's a lot of guys that are top, you know, products that come from here, football, you know, NBA, NFL, that go other places and they don't stay home. I mean, not as much, you know, Georgia and football and stuff like that, but when you're talking about Georgia basketball, Georgia Tech basketball, Josh Pastner doing a good job to try and get them back over the hump and get them back to where they used to be. But overall, I think that instead of talking about how sad people are, you know, instead think about how it can benefit and the quality of the game from that standpoint, even on the NBA level. You know, is this something that's going to be forced to put the one and done rule to rest, you know, and do away with some of the AAU stuff? I know a lot of people aren't necessarily fans of the AAU circuit or platform, but the reason that, you know, I sometimes question is part of the reason why we see so many package deals. You know, I don't think anybody would question that. I'm sure Michael Beasley didn't grow up wanting to go to Kansas State. You know, he was one of the first guys to ever commit and go there. But it was a package deal because they brought over the head coach of his AAU team and got him an assistant coaching job in Manhattan, Kansas, and that's how he came over. And it's the same thing with the Porter, Michael Porter Jr., and my brother Jonte Porter, with the dad getting a job as an assistant coach. And I mean, the list goes on and on. There was a guy that was here from Georgia by the name of Tony Parker, and I remember interviewing him. I remember interviewing Tony Parker at the McDonald's All-American when they were mentioning who was going to come out and be representing the state of Georgia. So from that standpoint, one of the first things he said is, it's no secret that I communicate with Shabazz Muhammad and talk regularly about going to the same school and playing together. And that's exactly what they did. So, I mean, everything.
This is not new. I mean,
no, it's not. No, it's not.
Wake Forest head coach. What's his name?
Danny Man.
His dad got a job with Kansas, and that's why he went. So it's nothing that hadn't been happening.
Mario Chalmers.
I stopped Ben Simmons going to LSU because of the.
But think about how long ago Danny Manning was in college.
Yeah, 85.
So I mean, this is nothing new. You know, one thing you touched on that I really agree is going to kind of cut a lot of this is that the big time stars are going to be going back to the NBA. It's going to cut out a lot of that because they're going to get rid of the one and done, which is a travesty and a farce in itself. It should never have been that way anyway. You know me, I had a problem with that from Jump Street. But I think what's going to happen is that big time athlete are the ones that they're vying for. You like who's coming at the kid that D-Will been talking about, that
Marvin Bagley.
Bagley, yeah. That type of athlete is going to go right to the NBA from now on.
And what's funny about that is we talk about some of the different programs that are being targeted by the FBI and the NCAA, one of them being Arizona, the other one being USC. Now, we know that Marvin Bagley is going to Duke, but a guy that chose Duke over those other two schools, and those were the last three schools that he was considering, I think that whether it raises red flags or not, at the end of the day, I don't want to be the guy that says everybody's doing it, although I'm a personal believer, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm a personal believer that that's what's happening. There's a lot of people sweating right now.
Oh, no doubt.
In
no
this doubt. State, so, in
some
every
blue
state.
Blue bloods sweating.
Blue bloods. And I don't think anyone doubts that there's blue blood programs that's sweating, but there's mid-major programs that are sweating.
No doubt.
And I just think that one thing people don't think about enough is that the pressure on assistant coaches right now to win is probably higher than ever. And, you know, how you eat and feed your family kind of depends on if you land a kid in recruiting or not. And that's just the life of an assistant coach, where the pressure is coming down on them from last chance to win head coaches. Obviously, one of them being Rick Pitino. But Rick Pitino didn't, you know, he was in his own hot water leading up to this.
Yeah, he's done a lot.
Yeah, I mean, for a guy.
I didn't know they were doing that down there.
Yeah, well, there's been all kind of stuff that's been come out, you know, about him. Bruce Pearl, another one. You got to watch who you're inviting to your barbecues.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that type of stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think that this is just the beginning. It's just starting with Rick Pitino. I think that this is going to be something that not only goes on to continue to be an investigation moving forward throughout the rest of the college basketball season, but even more so into the postseason.
Well, let's touch on this real quick, because I think we may touch on this like this, but the hurting of the recruiting, how does this affect the recruiting moving forward? Because now, if this is just the beginning, it's going to be some schools like maybe Wichita State, Xavier, Cincinnati, things of that nature, where there's possibilities that the playing field can get a little more even if you got the right type coach that can actually coach these kids up. So, in your opinion, how do you think it will affect recruiting?
Potentially that could be the case, but I don't think that there's really a solution here, because even if people say, you know what, go on and pay these kids, there's always going to be the issue of who's got the biggest bag. You know, if they say, okay, we're going to pay these kids, I'm just throwing a ballpark figure out there, $5,000 a season or $5,000 each semester. There's always going to be that coach that say, hey, how much they giving? That's legal? $5,000? Here, how about I give you $25,000? And this kid, Brian Bowen, is a kid that picked Louisville over Michigan State, Texas, Creighton, a couple other schools. And Louisville came out of nowhere. He wasn't even considering Louisville throughout the whole process. And all of a sudden, as Rick Pitino likes to call it, that is the luckiest recruit that I've ever landed. And it just happened to have landed in my lap. And we're talking about $100,000 for a top 25 kid. Just imagine what they're throwing at the top two, top three kids that can not only be program changers, but can also be future organization changers for the NBA. We could be talking $250,000 to $350,000 a kid just for a season.
But it's the only thing that you don't have free market in. You know, they're making billions of dollars, but they want to legislate every sports. But if somebody's coming out of school or whatever and this corporation want to offer him $250,000 to work there, it's no problem. But they're going to bring their kid in there and make all kind of money off of him from wearing that jersey and getting him to this tournament and playing on TV and getting all this money trickles down, but that kid gets nothing. But you can go and do something in some other industry, and it's no problem. My thing on it is, why are you trying to legislate? It's you cannot stop the payments. And then to say, well, where is it going to stop? Is it $5,000? The most money always win in anything that we talk about. People with the biggest bank accounts always win. Right or wrong? The Yankees always get what they want.
Hell, Mo Fi is the president.
But that's what I'm saying. The Yankees always get the talent they want. In every industry, money talks. Right or wrong?
What's funny about all this, too, is that, you know, the Miami Hurricanes basketball program has come up in some of this, too, even as early as today, where Jim Larranega has been subpoenaed by the FBI. Uh-huh. Ironically, this year's incoming freshman class for the Miami Hurricanes is the best ever in school history. Like, this stuff ain't just coming from out of nowhere. And then we have other situations that we need to consider looking at. One of them being how some of these kids are just so happen to, bump up, if you will, to another level or to another class. The same way that the Marvin Bagley did, being one of the guys.
Reclassification.
Appreciate that. And it was the same thing. Austin Wiley reclassified last year to move up, and now he's playing with Auburn. Same thing, Jonte Porter is a year younger than Michael Porter Jr. He's now bumping up and becoming a freshman with Missouri. So, I mean, none of this, not only does it surprise me that these kids are getting paid to go to some of these big-name institutions or small-name institutions, but I don't think we're really too far away, or the apple falls too far from the tree, that a lot of these kids are also probably getting paid or parents are getting housed to move from one high school to another high school on the other side of the country. Right. And you sometimes wonder how a lot of these kids are able to do this. I mean, it wasn't that long ago we seen LeBron James's mom with the hump pulling up in a Hummer, living in a two-bedroom apartment. I mean, everything from SAT scores with Derrick Rose all the way to guys getting paid, you know, for paying for tattoos, autographs, jerseys.
Parents getting jobs in certain cities.
By far, parents getting jobs. You name it.
Yeah.
You name it. And, yeah. I mean, that's just realistically, yeah. that's just something that's going on right now. And you better believe, this ain't just NCAA. This is the thing I want people to understand. We ain't just talking about NCAA infractions. They're not just talking about taking back banners and championships and somebody conference championships. Yeah. We're talking about people going to prison.
Yeah.
So you better believe it's going to be some folks singing on the stand.
Yeah.
Oh, you talking about 80 years in prison? No, let me show you where they print the money at.
Yeah. Wow.
That's what's going to be happening.
Where the body's buried. Let me show you.
And I totally agree, because even a mid-major basketball program like Alabama's, which I consider them being in the SEC, they just had an assistant coach, Kobe Baker, that was fired in this probe.
Right.
But guess who we landed? A potential top five pick in next year's NBA draft.
Easy.
Kid here from Georgia, Colin Sexton.
That's right.
So it's happening everywhere.
It's dirty, Ben, but it's been dirty. That's the thing. It's been nasty. It's been dirty.
I'm afraid that there's just nothing that you can realistically do to fix this problem, because it's not even going to – everybody's yelling at the solution as to pay the kids. It's not even going to be about that. At the end of the day, there's going to be people that's getting money under the table. And you can't be mad at them, because, I mean, you're thinking about it, like you said, whose bag is bigger, but a lot of these parents – are pimping their kids, in a sense.
You're
just looking at it. I mean, it is what it is. They're moving around the country. They're trying to figure out how they can get put in certain institutions.
But if they don't pimp them, somebody else pimping them?
That's
the thing I'm saying.
Yeah. If you're going to pimp your own kid.
Pimp your own kid.
Y'all need to stop it.
I mean, it's a bad term, but what I'm saying is, why am I going to let somebody else get rich off my seed?
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? I'm going to make sure that he got his. But I'm going to get some of it, too. I'm not going to let you get paid.
That's right.
If it's a swimming pool being built, I want my little blow-up swan in it, too. I want to float. Yeah,
I want you float.
I want my own float.
We are encouraging parent pimping.
Look, hey, man.
Hey, parent pimping. Look, the two P's.
Call me Junior Ball.
All right, the Mac.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness. All right, Tate, let's talk about some college real quick. Mm. College will be starting pretty soon, normally right around November area and things of that nature. So give me your top five college players to watch this season.
Easily Marvin Bagley. I got to start there. I can't start nowhere else. That's easily a future 10-time NBA All-Star right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's right off the bat. That's without even thinking about it. Miles Bridges of Michigan State, I think, is another one.
Do you think he stayed too long? Do you think he should have come out already?
It just depends on really what you're trying to go after. I look at it like this when it comes down to kids leaving or not leaving. Are we talking about leaving to be a productive player on an NBA roster? What I do is I would just sit down with my kid and say, hey, you know, according to where you would get picked, because after that 3 years is up, you can get sent down to that overpopulated G League that they got,
right,
and never be heard from again.
Yeah.
So how can we keep you in the league? And if to come back to school is the best thing for you to be able to improve your game, in which I like to think that playing under Tom Izzo, you can kind of put your game. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can kind of structure your game and get it together, whatever that, you know, you maybe wasn't as good at. You can kind of work on those things. I think that that's a good reason to come back, whether you go to a Final Four, maybe win a national championship, whatever the case may be. Now, of course, that's benefiting Izzo probably a little bit more than anybody, but being able to work on your own game and depending on what your own personal things are that you want to accomplish in a season, I think it's another reason to come back. Like I said, Alonzo Trier. I do like I definitely like Colin Sexton for sure. Michael Porter Jr. is another one. I mean, there's some really good kids. Oh, Trayvon Duval, easily. Easily Trayvon Duval. I mean, between the inside-outside game, I think that Trayvon Duval can potentially be, not saying he will or won't, but he can be a Kyrie Irving.
He's got to get a shot, though.
He does have to get a jump shot, but I think we can probably say that about every single kid that's 17, 18 years old onto a campus. However, I will say enough to say that he's NBA ready. He has an NBA body, and he does, you know, he has some things that he needs to work on. But I think what Trayvon Duval will be at Duke is what everybody was expecting out of Kyrie Irving prior to his injury at Duke, and he had only played about 9 games. So that's just about it.
H.O., wipe the smile off your face. You're cheesing a little too hard.
That's a Duke guy right
now. He's so happy right now. All right. He called out two of his freshmen coming in, so he's so happy right now.
First of all, all of this, I can probably go even longer about that. But it is some great players out here, and Michael Porter Jr. go be one to watch. But this is the thing, and to your point, let's talk about this. He was quoted, it was reported that he quoted today, if Missouri struggled, he could possibly come back to school.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it with Monopoly money.
Hey,
I'm not buying it with your money.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the unfortunate part about it is that NBA GMs start to raise red flags when a guy comes back to school and comes out after only his second year. At certain programs at like Kentucky, if you coming back for your second year and Lord forbid it be your third year, you're considered like a fifth or a sixth-year senior.
Alex Porthers.
What's the poster child?
And that's why I asked that
McAdoo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The poster child for coming back. Losing money.
Yeah, it's McAdoo.
Now, he's had a good career in the NBA. Don't get me wrong.
Let's say decent.
Anytime you stay in the league and you're getting a check, that's a good career. And now he's on with Philadelphia, so he's making a check. But if he'd have came out as a freshman, he'd top five pick.
That's why I asked that about Miles Bridges. Do you think it will, you know, potentially hurt him going forward?
But that's the thing he's saying, and I can sympathize with what you're saying. Hone your game.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you stay and get that check like McAdoo did.
Buddy Hill. Yeah.
I mean, another thing about that is everybody's so quick to say, you know, well, go on and get the money, young fella. And I never tell somebody not to go get some money. However, know what you're doing when you listen to everybody else. Because the unfortunate part is you have a lot of these guys that are 17, 18 years old, and they're carrying just the everything from their families, from multiple generations down the line.
Right.
They're expected to be the guy to make this family rich. And now all of a sudden you got a lot of uncles.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I personally think that coming back is obviously not a bad thing, just depending on what you want to accomplish. But everybody likes to yell out, well, what if you get injured? Well, you can get injured, you know, any kind of way. You know, we just saw the same thing, Gordon Hayward yesterday. Now, I know he's not, you know, an incoming rookie or whatnot, but if injuries is going to happen, they're going
to
happen. You can't stop things.
Like to happen with $180 million. Like
that's a huge difference.
Yeah, it's a little different.
By all means,
yes,
I won't say that it won't make a difference. Yeah. However, where does that put you longevity-wise when you can come back? If you get injured, you come back for maybe even a third year of college. And, I mean, 3-4 years in college, people ought to make it seem like it's such a bad thing. Is your kid getting pimped? Yeah, but some people at their regular jobs, their parents, they getting pimped at their regular job.
That's true. I just had to me, it's always been on where you projected to come out. And that's the thing. If you're coming out with guaranteed money that's life-changing money, I think it's hard for me to tell a kid to come back.
Now, that ain't going to do no good if you're not investing it in the proper way.
That's true, but if he working for $11 an hour somewhere, that ain't doing him no good either. So
that
if he got a shot, he got a shot to at least have a chance at millions of dollars, and if you blow it, you blow it. We've all had the opportunity to say, I wonder if I take this road, this might be it. But you take that road and, you know, you probably get held up. But, I mean, it is what it is. It's a chance.
It is.
And the chance I'm saying is if you come out and you sign your name and they can guarantee you $20 million, that's a lot of money, man, for you. Yeah, it's people out there that's going to try to take it from you. I agree with that.
Yeah, sure.
But there'll be a bunch of them.
At least, like I said, it's better to love and loss than never love at all.
You got to be able to produce at that next level at the end of the day because that money goes so quick.
It does. Yeah.
And the way a lot of people spending their money nowadays and everything's going up in price.
Yeah.
God forbid you ain't got no baby mamas by that time already or nothing like that. Or you having a whole different kind of issue on your hands. And it's hard to focus on basketball when you got them kind of problems.
I feel. But I'm going to be right there in Boogie Hill. Boogie. We ain't doing that.
All right, man.
Just like Earl Woods, baby.
We're going to take a 1-minute break, man. But the Yankees did win 5-0. And it's been reported by the Four Letter Network, Patino has received a subpoena for his phone records.
Oh, my goodness. It's getting worse.
He's going to receive more than that.
Yeah, that's going down, man. You listen to Sports Roundtable, SRT Crew with Deshaun Tate, SRTRadio.com. Be right back.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Stuck in a high dollar, low gig family plan? Right now, switch to Boost Mobile's best family plan and get four lines for just $25 per line, each with unlimited gigs. Plus, get up to four free phones. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save.
What's up? My name is Marquise Kiki Hicks, assistant men's basketball coach at Tartt University. When I get my sports fix, I listen to Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on AM 1100 and SRTRadio.com.
Sports Roundtable, SRT crew.
Give me 50% of what's there, bro. That's what's coming to Facebook.
Give me
50%. 100 million oatmeal better than no meal.
Exactly. Hey. But this basketball and money and talks and things of that nature, this is really, really going down. So some NBA, let's talk some NBA. And Tate, I know you college guy.
I'm in there.
But
let's do it.
The NBA notables.
My first guy.
We got the OKC, Big Three. We got Houston with Chris Paul and Harden. And my main man, Ryan Anderson, over there shooting the three. Shout out to Ryan Anderson.
Got me 30 with FanDuel last night.
I be trying to tell y'all,
Got me 30 for some point.
You know I like my man.
That's your boy.
That's my man.
That's your boy.
That's my boy.
I had him on my DraftKings last night.
I had him with FanDuel. Exactly. He did good for me. Did good.
And then you got the possible repeat. Golden State. Kyrie goes to Boston. LeBron loads up, you know, at Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Some of the notables, Washington says, don't forget about us. The Minnesota Timberwolves say, hey, we loaded over here, and Cat Towns looked like he is possibly the best big man in the league right
now. Barkley said he's going to be the best player in the league in the next 5 years.
So,
who is this?
Barkley.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to really pay attention.
Hey, man, give Barkley his props, man.
Yeah. But it.
Yeah.
After he just killed Auburn all day, he gonna give Barkley some props.
After he killed black people.
And by the way, Philadelphia is losing to Washington 72-70, 6 minutes left in the third quarter.
72 what?
72-70.
Okay.
Close game.
Okay. So process. Trust the process.
Trust the process. So some of the notables that you kind of wanna you're looking forward to for the season, in your opinion.
One team that hasn't been mentioned.
The Lakers.
Nope. The Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, Jason Kidd.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if not only the Milwaukee Bucks finish better in the playoffs or entering the playoffs and have a better seed than the Toronto Raptors, but how much would it really surprise anybody if they jump the Wizards, maybe?
Well, they jump in the Celtics right now, 56-50.
Well, and you see what I'm saying? And at that, from that standpoint, we might be looking at second in the East. I think after Cleveland, with what happened with the Celtics already yesterday, and although I don't believe that the Celtics should just automatically be counted out because they lost a guy who never even played in that system or for that. That was his first time putting on that uniform. And I tell you what. There's a guy named Jason Tatum that looked pretty good last night, too. He's going to need some work.
He really did.
As will all the rookies, but he's got the right people around him and the right coach, the right scheme. the right players, the right all-stars, superstars around him to be able to put that in place. And so I don't want to count out Boston just yet. However, I will say that, you know, Milwaukee is really just that, keeping from being out-coached away from, I think that's their biggest issue, is just being out-coached. Yeah, they got the length. A lot is going to rely on Jabari Parker and a couple other guys, but they do have the pieces right there, and they do have the chemistry. But I just don't see nobody messing with the Warriors. Forget last night. Throw that out. I'm a firm believer that had Draymond Green last night for the fourth quarter, for a guy that finished in three quarters with 13 rebounds, we might be talking about something totally different. However, but what they have is something different than what the Rockets have. The Rockets, they have just one or two bad three-point shooting nights, and you can toss them out the window. I don't question Chris Paul finishing without a ring for his career, not one bit. I don't question the same thing for Carmelo Anthony one bit. What Golden State has is guys that are already established. Chemistry. You don't have to slap them around and grab them. You unselfish. You don't have to grab them by their jerseys in the huddle and tell them to play defense. Everybody gets along well. And it's all about what this is about outside of having fun. What comes next to that is, I'm sorry, they're having fun. Outside of getting paid, it's all about having fun. They're out there having fun. They believe in one another. And it's more than just, you know, what Steph Curry, some of these guys are going to bring. I mean, you know what you're going to get out of a Sean Livingston and some of these other guys. You know exactly what you're going to get. Andre Iguodala is another guy. So from that standpoint, I mean, I just really don't see nobody beating Golden State until shown otherwise.
And bringing in Swaggy, he's a perfect fit.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I mean, tell y'all who's sleeping
he's
on.
Opening, and if Swag can't do one thing,
he can score.
He can flat foot shoot it.
He can shoot. And I'm going to tell y'all who to look out for, who had a very good season last year, who came on with the rookie Patrick McCaw.
Looking good.
He can play a lot of – he can play the one through the three position. Mm-hmm. He can guard the one through the three position. So when Sean Livingston's having an off night or Swaggy P is not hitting, McCaw showed in the finals last year he's capable of playing big minutes.
Yeah. So who was my sleeper coming? Jordan Bell. Before the season is over. I told y'all this anyway.
Yeah.
And what's good about it is he has a great mentor. He got Draymond there to teach him. And I didn't realize he could go out. He got beat a few times, but you see they want him to go and defend different positions.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the size and the mobility, and you know who he'll be trying to go up against in the finals. LeBron. They're going to have him with another body they can throw at him.
Yep.
And that's what it was about.
So let me ask you this. We go throw this around. We talked about Houston, and we had questioned the fact that how does Chris Paul and Harden work together. And my main man tweeted out last night, you know, Hancock, tell us how you feel about it.
My tweet was they need to take a page out of what New Orleans did with AP. Go ahead and move him now.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just being real because he doesn't.
Oh, my goodness.
They don't. It's either him or Harden. You see what I'm saying? Because if he's got the ball, he's just pounding. Or Harden got the ball, he's just pounding. They just standing watching each other and jacking. That's all they do. They got hot. They don't really move the ball. It's one-on-one basketball.
They got what's it called? They got the 7-second offense.
Yeah, and they're going to put it up. So what Paul does is dominate the ball, which is not what D'Antoni wants to do. He wants to get the ball up. He wants to get as many shots up as he can. And defense is optional. And that's not Chris Paul.
That's not championship pedigree or resume.
Nothing he's ever been a part of. Chris Paul plays defense and runs system offense.
Mm. Right.
He doesn't fit.
On top of that, what are you going to do if you need some go-ahead buckets in the post from a post presence? I think one game last year in the postseason, I saw Nene went like 10 for 10 or 11 or 11 or something like that. But outside of that, I mean, you can't count on that every night.
Not from him. And Clint Capella has no offensive game.
And when they caught up and took the lead last night, Paul was on the bench.
He was.
You see what I'm saying?
At the end of the game, he was on the bench.
That's what I'm saying. And they played better. So he needs to stay hurt. All right.
So let's talk about this. We talked about LeBron and at least the Cavaliers and the Celtics was the game of the, you know, to watch. But we didn't see D-Wade in the game at the end either. So G, your thoughts on D Wade not being in the game, which is LeBron's boy, with the curls, with the shoulder pad.
Hey, man, stop, man.
He needs to
stop. That man can do whatever he
wants. That man, 96 years old.
Go ahead, G.
It's going to be tough for Wade to. I don't think there's going to be a lot of minutes with him playing with LeBron. It's going to be a lot of him with the second unit because playing with LeBron, what does LeBron need? Shooters. He's got to have people to spread the floor. Dwayne Wade doesn't do that. Derrick Rose doesn't do that. So once Isaiah Thomas is healthy, whenever that is, it might be January or the All-Star break, he's going to be starting over Derrick Rose because he can spread the floor by shooting. So it's going to be a little awkward for now. We might see Wade in there in the fourth quarter. Maybe not. We'll probably, you know, see J.R. Smith depending on what the situation is.
Derrick Rose looked good last night, though.
But if IT comes back like he said,
yeah.
Well, that's the last you could. Derrick Rose going AWOL.
I'm just gonna be honest.
He is a diva.
I understand that. That whole I see
where you're
team.
Dirty got
think about it like this. Think about it like this. If you can move Derrick Rose to that second team and
you
have
can move
him, but I'm saying have him buy in. Have him buy in. If you can play on that second team where he's an attacker of the basket.
Right.
We know what he does well. Mm-hmm. And you put him on the court with a J.R. Smith who stretches, a Channing Frye who stretches.
How many minutes in the game, D?
I understand.
I'm just asking. How many minutes? 48-minute games,
right? He won't get more than 14 to 16.
You got too many players out there that's looking for minutes. I do not envy Ty Lue.
Yeah, that is.
Because I'm telling you, J.R. is unhappy coming off the bench. Shumpert and Lou got into it last night. If you saw it,
Shumpert should be getting traded any day now.
They tried to move before the season,
but nobody wants him.
I'm telling you, and it's just like I told Harris, and be quick with it. But if me and you boys and I move out of town, and you start hanging out with my man here and y'all speaking or whatever, I said, man, I'm moving back, big dog. We're gonna be cool and chilling. So I'm coming back in town. I'm gonna take minutes from him. You see what I'm saying? Whatever y'all was doing, smoking stogies or whatever, me and you kicking it now.
Right.
We cognac and whatever. Hey, big ho, we ain't going to the cigar bar?
Right.
No, me and Han hanging out. And that's what's happening on the Cavs. Because now D-Wade's back in town. It's with his boy and everybody else feeling jealous.
You got D-Wade.
I'm telling you.
I understand.
I'm telling you.
J.R. Smith is mad he not getting smoke no good record with LeBron.
And every time, it's fine as long as the wins are there. Let him lose a couple.
Well, I'm just over here looking like, I know my boy H.O. ain't going to do me like that.
I'm just saying. That's what LeBron doing.
Hey, but that's how J.R. feels.
Who they doing interviews with the Cavs right now?
It's Dwayne and LeBron.
Where's JR with Tristan? Tristan with the Kardashians.
Yeah.
And he won't be there half a year. I promise you.
Yeah, he occupied.
And he'll be gone. He will not finish the year with the Cavs.
As soon as he walked in,
so
he's
going to get a new agent?
He's gone because they're going to need to make a move. You watch him use that pick, Christian, and some other stuff.
Shumpert.
And to get some players in there that they need.
Wow.
That team will not look
GM
the same.
Hancock.
I promise you it's not.
So, Tay, what's your thoughts on Cleveland, man? I mean, D-Wade didn't finish the game. LeBron looked phenomenal, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But JR is unhappy. Tristan is unhappy. I mean, Kevin Love got to move. He was told he had to play some.
By LeBron. At practice.
This is what you're going to do.
How would you feel?
What'd you think about that?
I mean, from a standpoint of Kevin Love, first of all, who you cannot really rely on to do much of anything except to throw long touchdown passes to guys for easy layups. I don't think Derrick Rose looks as bad. I mean, for a guy who I always thought with everything that he's been through, because going through what he went through will change your game. It will have you thinking that before you even make a move, what might happen next. And when you start playing like that, I was always questioning who is Derrick Rose, not necessarily from a talent or athleticism standpoint, but from a mental standpoint and how will he play. But to have a guy that you need to fill the role when Isaiah is not there yet, I think he's done so far so good, a phenomenal job. However, you've only seen one game in the regular season and a whole bunch of preseason games. But it's going to take time no matter what. I think the easier part for them from an optimistic and positive standpoint is LeBron and Wade are what Cleveland has in general, besides the fact that they have the chemistry together. But all those guys, they know what it takes to win. You know, and I think that they're going to introduce Derrick Rose to some stuff to where maybe he doesn't have to have as much on his mental because he's around guys that say, hey, not necessarily take a playoff, but take your load off a little bit. You can't do that with nobody else. You could do that with winners like LeBron. You could do that with winners like Wade. So I think that that'll help a little bit. And in this instance where you do have a little bit of an older roster, I don't think you necessarily have an old roster, but you have an older roster, and I think that that could play benefits to you. However, that sounds good for the East. When you run up on some of those West Coast teams, I think we might be having a little bit of a different conversation, especially if we're talking about getting back to the finals. But everything matters a lot when you have winners on your team. And LeBron, what are we talking about, 7 or 8 straight finals?
Yep.
If you got him on your team, anything's possible.
Yeah, it is. All right, man. Washington is up by 10 on Philadelphia, and Boston is down by 5 against Milwaukee at halftime. Want to shout out to Sean Tate for coming through. We really appreciate it, man. He catches up on some college basketball and some NBA. Shout out to all the loyal listeners. Shout out to everybody on Facebook Live. Shout out to the intern coming through tonight. She's rocking and rolling with us. And she repping that Alabama, too. So I know. Woo! That's why she's standing over there by D. Wiz. She repping that Bama.
You already know.
But thanks for everybody listening in, man. And that's how we do it. So real quick, we signing it out.
Just to everybody that whoever it is out there that's been praying for me, I appreciate that because I'm definitely seeing the outcome of that. Everybody just paying attention, listening in your cars, listening, watching on Facebook Live, Instagram. Make sure you follow at Tate's Take Sports. And as usual, man, Sparty Party.
It is. Hey, a quick shout out to my aunt. She's Aunt Sandra Brown in Memphis, going through some health problems right now. Prayers up from the SRT crew, I'm sure. Get well, sweetheart. We love you. And all y'all follow your boy at sportssuperhero.srt on Twitter.
Shout out to my mom and dad and everyone who joined me on Facebook Live. Yeah, I'm doing Facebook Live now. And if you want to follow me on social media, I'm on Instagram primarily at GPlaysItCool.
And y'all already know, man, shout out to the wifey. Shout out for all the prayers that have been coming in for me. I still need them. Keep them coming. And y'all already know, man, follow me on social media on Instagram at IamCoachK9. That's I am Coach K as in King and the number 9. And also, go buy a t-shirt, man. Go hit me up at Instagram at _RealTalkTees, or you can go to my website, RealTalkTees.BigCartel.com.
And you already know, same back time, same back channel. We'll holler at y'all Knuckles Head next week. Hancock, let's roll.
Boogie, I'm headed home, baby.
Everybody want to be light-skinned with them curls. At Taste Take Sports.
They call me Coach because I teach you how to ball.
This is your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. B.C., R.I.P. Mom. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
y'all look at Takes Takes, baby.
Hey. And we out. Peace.
Saturday afternoons in the fall. A great time to enjoy football, friends, and the best New Orleans seafood restaurant in Atlanta. What could make a Saturday better than that? How about the best sports talk radio show in Atlanta? That's right. Every third Saturday will be SRT Saturdays at the Big Easy Grill, located at 1193 Collier Road in Atlanta. Join us at our next event on October 21st from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. Come by and meet the crew of the hottest sports talk radio show in Atlanta. We'll be talking sports, of course, and we'll also have trivia contests where you can win prizes. That's Sports Roundtable Saturday on October 21st at the Big Easy Grill, located at 1193 Collier Road in Atlanta. We hope to see you there.